Well, hello, this is Scott Wells, and I'm talking here from Houston, actually via Skype, over with Alex Rangel and Alan Rorison. We're over in England right now. Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
How's it going, Scott?
Great, thank you. I want to just talk with you a little bit about the Session Convention, I guess, which was held January 14th and 15th over in Cheltenham this past weekend. And so I want to kind of get your thoughts and reviews of what was going on. What was really cool? What did you really like?
Well, first of all, the convention in itself, and in fact, it was funny because I was going through old emails that you and I had,
yeah.
And I remember the first email that I sent you excited about going to one of the first session conventions that I had attended, and the excitement's still there. It's quickly becoming one of my favorite conventions. It is a smaller convention, but has grown, you know, huge. It's growing faster and faster in every year. Alan was there from the beginning, I believe.
Just about, yeah. I think they missed just the first year.
How many years have they been holding it?
I think they've been doing this for about 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy denies it, but I think the first convention was held in his living room for about 5 people. But
no, when you say Andy, you mean Andy Gladwin.
Andy Gladwin and Josh Jay, you know, they've co-created this great convention. And honestly, I think it started with about 60 people, 60 paid registrants that came to the first one, and it's just expanded. They had almost, I think the numbers are around 300, 250, let's say.
Yeah.
Over the course of the weekend, it's a 2-day convention. Amazing lineup, amazing talent, and just people willing to session and jam all night. So even though it is a smaller convention, it's
well, with a smaller with a smaller convention, I would think that you'd certainly get a lot of time with exposure and great hands-on opportunity to sit and chat with someone. I mean, that's like with Vector's Finger Flicking Frolic at the 4F every year, you know. Of course, they limit that. They don't want to have that too large. I mean, otherwise, a lot of people would be coming because they've been holding that for like 40-some years, I think. 40-plus years, I know. Well, anyhow.
Yeah, you were there from the beginning, huh, Scott?
Yeah, I remember that when I was about 70. I went for my first one, yeah. Do you think this is going to continue to grow, or do you think he'll cut it off because of the size? I mean, do they use monitors for everybody to see, or workshops?
They do have a nice high-def monitors in the rooms that they use. But I think, this is my opinion, it's not like I have secret information, even talking with Alan, I think that the way that Andy and Josh have both expressed their opinion is at a certain point they will cut it off to a number of people. I think that in 5 years they could grow to be a huge convention, and they don't want that. They want to keep it intimate around the 250, 300 mark, and that's as far as I see him going. I know Alan had some views on that as well.
I've always thought, being one of the people that has been there from the start of this, that it could grow to be an absolutely giant convention. But knowing both of them, I do think they do want to keep it limited. I mean, this year it was limited to about, I think it was 250 people, I believe. And one of the sort of main points that was all the hotels round about were sold out.
You couldn't get a hotel within 5 miles. I mean, they're just completely sold out. No room available.
Well, I guess Cheltenham is a pretty small town then. Doesn't have many hotels around there.
Right, well, there's one hotel.
Oh. So. And then bed and breakfast.
No, there's a bed and breakfast right across the street. There's a travel lodge right across the street.
There's a Premier Inn just around the corner.
Yeah, there is a few hotels. It is a small town. There's really nothing around. You got a KFC and some sort of diner that's across the street, so you're not going to run out and have a steak dinner. But actually, the hotel food itself was pretty good and pretty reasonable. And one who goes to a bunch of conventions, it always aggravates me that you're going to pay $20 for, you know, an okay hamburger.
Right.
Next, they had a really good buffet that was really reasonable. The food, for the most part, was good. Alan said the drinks were a little pricey, but after his 14th drink, he didn't seem to mind.
Alan, tell me something about the workshops they had.
Yeah, the workshops were actually my sort of favorite part of the whole session convention. purely because they took maybe, say, 20 to 30 men at most, or participants, I should say. Let's not be sexist, am I? And they just put them in a room with one of the leading professionals in the field. The main one that I enjoyed was the Coin Workshop that had Eric Jones in there and someone else whose name unfortunately slips my memory. And I even looked this up last night so I could try and remember it, and I've forgotten it again. I'm bad with names. But the workshop was basically the bunch of people in the room. You wrote down what a sticking point for you was, and we just worked through each and every one of them. So you were basically learning everyone else's sticking points, and you might pick up a tip here or there about that move. Or when once they got to yours, you got to speak about what your sticking point was. Now, I put up a couple, like the Himber Vanish and the Retention Vanish, and just silly little things like that.
Right.
And I originally put them up as a joke, but I have since discovered I was doing them wrong. So I've been doing it wrong for the past 20 years. So now we have it working right, and I have this workshop to thank, basically.
Wow.
But yeah, the little workshops were the sort of cherry on top of the cake for me. I really enjoyed those.
And the... And the workshops also then obviously were repeated several times if there were like 200 plus participants and you only got 10 or 15.
So you wouldn't miss anything. The way that Andy and Josh have scheduled this, you know, they've spent a lot of time figuring out how they need to run their convention. It's not perfect for every convention, but for their convention it works perfectly because they allow time slots during the day to not have overlap. And you know, you're not going to miss one performer versus another performer if you choose to go to something, you know. Also, some of these TED-style talks that Alan had mentioned earlier, you know, they're only 20 minutes long. So sometimes you'll go in for 20 minutes, have a break, go in, see something else. Sometimes it's 30 minutes.
Right. When you say like a TED-style talks, again, I know everybody's familiar with TED, but those who aren't, I know some have gone to attended the Essential Magic Conference online. Those are type of 20-minute talks, those things. That's excellent.
Yeah, I think that I've told this to you before. We all have that magic drawer with stuff that you buy at conventions because it's fun and it's a new toy. And then we've all been to lecture and we all have those lecture notes. But for me, in the past 3 years, some of the most enjoyable moments I've had and where I've gained the most knowledge is attending things like Essential Magic Conference or Dan and Dave Buck's MagicCon, to where, you know, I don't need to see your SpongeBob routine, but I'd love to hear about how you created your SpongeBob routine.
Right. So tell me something about perhaps one of the most outstanding. I mean, there are certainly a lot of, you know, great talent. I mean, John Archer and Eric Jones and Christian Engblom, and I know a lot of other guys who are Danny D'Ortiz, Chris Kenner, Wayne Halchin. Tell me, you know, who kind of stands out?
Well, for me, it had to be, there's two. Any time that I can be around Danny D'Ortiz,
definitely,
who's a student of Juan Tamariz,
right,
is valuable time, you know, for me, because he's incredible. He's unbelievable. His style, his performance style, that Latin culture. Mm-hmm. Any time that I can spend time around Danny, which thankfully, gratefully, has been several times. And then Chris Kenner was awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they put together a video. Actually, I tweeted it out yesterday. I might retweet it this afternoon. But Chris Kenner gave a presentation while we're out there, and is outstanding. And just Chris's presence being there, hanging out, jamming, actually watching Chris do magic. There's 50% of the people in the magic community that know that he's Copperfield's producer and think that's it. And the other 50% know that he's one of the most underrated sleight of hand men in the art of magic.
Yeah, so much more. How about you, Alan?
The highlights for me were basically the same. Especially with Danny D'Ortiz, but the odd thing with me and his performing style was that I found myself leaning away when he was performing in English. I found a little bit that his character kind of subsided a bit just to try and let the English language flow through. And I happily just watched him when he just spoke as normal and done his. I wouldn't understand what he was saying, but the performance still went over the sort of energy that man has still gets through.
Right.
So I definitely enjoyed that. And the Chris Kenner talk was, was an eye-opener for me. It was, again, I was one of the select few that knew Chris was a producer. I kind of knew he was good at close-up magic, but I'd never really seen him, like, speak before. So, I mean, that was, I think it was about a 45-minute talk in the end, and it turned out to be fantastic.
Wow. Well, moving on, let me just ask you, is there anything that could be improved, you think, on this convention?
The only, you know, I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't know about being improved.
Well, maybe it wasn't quite such as a highlight as some of the other.
As far as talent-wise, I couldn't ask for a better lineup, really. And for a European audience, the price of £80 isn't bad at all.
No,
truthfully, if you convert that over to the American dollar at 1.7 right now, that's really still not a lot of money.
That's a great deal. And even
the scary thing is, the Blackpool Convention isn't a lot dearer, but it's got a lot more on.
Yeah.
The reason I prefer the session over that is you get to see everything that you're paying for.
Yep.
You feel as if you do get the value for money.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And you said that the hotel also is fairly inexpensive, and the places across the street and wherever people were staying.
Right. I mean, you could, if you wanted just to literally a 3-minute walk, you could go have a 5-pound lunch if that's what you chose to do. So, if you were coming in, let's just say that you flew into London Heathrow to catch a train from London Heathrow to Cheltenham. Was, I want to say, £40 round trip. And then once you got to the train station, it was about a $4 taxi ride from the train station to the hotel. So very convenient, very, very easy to get to, you know.
And the hotel cost how much?
The hotel were great as well. The staff were absolutely fantastic. The amount of times that we had to get our cards recoded because we were around PK rings and PK magnets and all that stuff was unbelievable. And they were just happy to help.
Yep, very, very helpful staff. The hotel was £58 a night there. If you were to book across the street, which again is a 5-minute walk for me, and I'm not the skinniest guy in the world, so the hotel across the street is £15. I mean, you can't get a hotel 8 in the States for $30.
That's
so
true. Well, let me ask you just a couple of last questions. One would be some sort of a highlight or something perhaps that might have been the trick of the convention, something that everybody had to have or buy or, you know, sold out at the session type of a thing they'd advertise. What was big?
I think there was two big highlights at this convention, and one was, you know, you mentioned his name earlier, Christian Engelblum, which some people don't know who he is, and you should Google him, like, right now. He's a monster. He went ahead and released an effect of his called the Cooler, and it is the cleanest deck switch I've ever seen. And it's one of these things that you look at and you go, that's interesting. And then when you see it in performance and when you see somebody use it, you're like, oh, okay, well, now I need to reach into my wallet and buy that this second. So
I made that mistake. I looked at this to begin with. And thought, this is just stupid. This will never work. So I didn't buy it at the time when Al bought it. And then I seen it actually performed and thought, all right, I need to maybe eat my hat a bit here and just get the hand in the pocket and go buy this. And by the time I got there, it was already sold out.
So yeah, it's sold out very fast. It's not even released yet.
And it cost how much?
He was selling it for £40, so I think that's $65,
$70. Yeah.
And if it was in the States and it was $70, I would have just as equally fast reached in my pocket and bought that as well. And it is what it is. It's a deck switch. And you say, well, I have my favorite method for a deck switch, and that's fine.
You don't have this method.
Yeah. You know, this is in your face what just happened. You know, if you wanted to be funny, you know, I mean, you can do anything with it.
Even when you know what you are looking at, and you know what's going to happen, you still don't catch
still get
it
cool.
or something.
And what was the other thing you said that was the bestseller there, or cool?
Yeah, it was just a pretty piece of magic. It was an effect by Justin Bloom where he uses the paintbrush method made popular by Chris Kenner, where you're in doing the paintbrush move with a Pharaoh deck of cards, you end up painting a painting of Mona Lisa, and like, let's say a 4 by 4x6 grid.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're thinking. And as you're doing the move, he has specially printed playing cards by the U.S. playing card company.
Wait, 4x6 feet?
No, 4x6 grid.
Oh, so, grid, I'm sorry, cards, yes, about the playing card size, yes.
Yeah. So you would say, four cards across, six cards down. It might be actually 4x8 or 6x8, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just a really, it's a pretty effect. You actually end up with this visual presentation of you have actually painted a painting of the Mona Lisa, and the cute bit is that she's holding the quote-unquote selected playing card.
Awesome. Very cool. Same thing, Alan. Any highlights, or do you agree with Alex?
Yeah, the main highlights for me were the exact same. The cooler for a slightly different reason, just because it did knock me for six a little bit. I mean, as I said before, originally I thought that's a stupid idea. No, that's not fooling anyone. And then I seen it done about three times to me. Yeah. I knew what I was looking for, and it still got me. So as soon as those do come out commercially, I will be buying one of those, no matter what the price is. And again, the Mona Lisa effect from Vanishing Ink. This was one of the ones where a dear friend of mine, who is into this sort of storytelling style magic, said, just buy it. Now, I hadn't seen the demo yet, but I trust Rob, so I went and put my hand in my pocket and bought it. And then when I went back up to ask for a demo, he said, well, it's sold out. And I was like, yeah, I know it's sold out. I already have one. I've just not seen it yet.
Yeah.
and he performed it for me. And again, I was happy I put my hand in my pocket.
Wow.
A lovely little storytelling piece, very visual, and it gets to the point. I think that was the sort of main effect that really caught me off guard as well.
Great.
Non-utilitarian-wise.
All right, so you guys definitely sound like you're going to sign up for next year, eh?
Oh, of course.
Well, it sounds like everybody else then should as well. Any last comments before we sign off?
Again, if you find yourself in the UK at the time of this convention, or if you find yourself with some vacation time and you have not attended the Sessions convention, I say you go all in and attend it, because it's something that you can't explain to other people until you've been there yourself.
Yeah. It's one of those little ones where you get so much time with the featured artists, you kind of forget you're at a convention. It just feels like one big magic jam. But I mean, all the information you want on it, you can get at thesessionsconventions.com, and I'm sure there'll be a link on thevanishingink.com as well for it.
Cool. And they had a lot of other dealers. One last thing I guess I forgot to ask. They had just mainly close-up dealers, I assume?
Well, they had, Christian Schenk from Card Shark was there. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Big Blind Media.
Fool52.
And then,
World Magic Shop and Fool52.com were there as well.
Yeah.
Blue Crown.
Who else?
Alex Pandrea was there, but he was there as a performer, and, he had a few things for sale afterwards. He sold out of his Crown decks while he was there. He's printed the new novelty deck. He has green crowns, blue crowns, red crowns, and recently released a black crown. So when I was talking to Alex, he said as he released them, he released 5,000, then he released 10,000. With his greens, he said, well, I'll make an investment. I'll go for a larger, and I'll buy 20,000 decks, and sold out in 40
wow.
minutes.
40. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate your time over there, and it sounded like it was just a great bang-up convention.
Well, thanks for having us, Scott.
Yep, thanks a lot for your time.
You bet. Okay, that was Alex and Alan, and this is Scotty out. Thank you.